All right, yeah, we'll be in touch. Oh my God. Oh yes. Oh yes, welcome to the debrief here with Dave O'Neill, and I'm joined by Fiona O'Loughlin, who returned to the debrief. In fact, you were one of the first people I interviewed.
Yeah, what was that? We did a gig for carers.
Carers in Ringwood, and loved you.
We couldn't work out who the carers were.
Oh, yeah, it was a bit shady.
Who needed caring.
Yeah, are they being cared for, or... And we've just done the Grand View.
I love the Grand View. I love this gig.
Yeah, you were great. And just said goodbye to Clive, who is a guy... Hello, Clive.
Hi, Clive.
He hangs around the Grand View. He's a comedy... You know how many comedy festival shows you went to last year in Melbourne? 60. But... He only went to three.
60.
He only went to three this year, and one of them was yours. So there you go. Comedy does attract people like that.
They're
sort of passionate weirdos.
When I bottomed out, I ended up staying with
Clive.
With
a fan
in Adelaide. I stayed with some fans.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was bizarre. I slept. I remember their toilet didn't. Their bathroom didn't have a door on it.
Oh, that's not good.
That wasn't good. And then they, because I was underground then, and they they had to go overseas. They'd won some trip, so she took me to her mother's and stayed with this crazy lady who then was like a stalker. But I was in a house, so I guess I was the stalker.
So how did you get in contact with these people initially?
Oh, well, it's all a bit hazy.
Yeah.
I think they'd been at some gig.
Yeah, and they said you need somewhere to stay.
So I guess it was a kind of a fleety kind of situation.
Yeah, Greg Fleet. Sleep on your couch, couch surfing, and then...
So when I went to the mother's, I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking, but I slept in a blow-up mattress. Every morning, the blow-up mattress would be...
Deflated?
Deflated.
That's the worst.
Along with my spirit. Anyway, one morning, she just got creepier and creepier. And she said, now I found out that we're cousins.
What?
I'm like, I don't think we're cousins. I really don't think we're cousins. Then she found this book, and we were cousins of...
Wow.
Very tenuous cousins. I think we would have been about fifth cousins.
Yeah, removed.
Four times removed.
Fans, hey.
Oh, dear.
So I haven't seen you since you've come out of the jungle. So how long did you spend in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out Here?
I got there on a Thursday. Like, got into the camp on a Thursday, and then I was released on a Monday. So it was nearly 7 weeks.
Whoa. And how was it? I remember Chrissy Swan said to me it was like prison.
It was like prison. It was insane. And I remember we all thought it was finishing on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So this is an example of how it was so much downtime. Like, you just...
This is a lot of sitting around, is there?
So much sitting around, lying around. They didn't even have chairs, so you could only lie.
Yeah.
And we thought it was finishing on Sunday, and then it was the Thursday.
Oh, so they don't have chairs?
No chairs.
Of course. So you sort of got to sit on the ground or logs, do you?
You've got to sit on the ground, logs, or on your camp bed. And anyway, it was the last trial we did, which is a Thursday, and he said, and now the producer, we only saw twice, but he gave us this big pep talk, and he said, and don't forget, we've got a lot, we need a lot of action. This will be aired on Monday. Yeah, we need a lot of action because the last show is Monday night. And we're like, what? I thought it was Sunday night.
No.
It was like being in prison and you just found out you weren't being released.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy now. It was only 24 hours, but that was...
Hell.
Bitter.
Yes.
Bitter disappointment to think the finish line was so close.
Did you get warning smoking breaks or...?
No. We could vape.
Oh, you could vape?
Yeah, but only 3 times a day, 4 or 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. Who joined you on the vaping?
You weren't allowed to be with anyone. Shane Warne buggered that up for everyone because he smoked and then everyone else decided they smoked.
Yeah. I'd take up smoking.
So it was part of the contract that you...
Didn't Azeem Prey He said he had to pray 5 times a day.
Yeah, well, Mundine had to pray too.
Yeah, right.
God knows who too. I don't even think God likes Mundine. Or Allah.
And what? Yeah, but being in a confined space, it's like being in a submarine, isn't it? People can't hide their personalities.
No, they can't.
And so it all comes out. So Peter Rosen's obviously a lovely guy, because we know Pete.
Well, he's like you. He's
very laid back.
The loveliest man in comedy.
Yeah.
That's what your rep is.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. But Pete, I spoke to him the other day. He's like, 7 weeks in the jungle. Got about 8 extra gigs from it.
Well, that's true. It's like you are... You revealed, you know, who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And that Jackie Gillies, my God.
Who was that?
Jackie Gillies. She's one of the...
See, this often, you know, I know it's called a celebrity, but oh yes, well, she's a psychic.
Yeah,
she's married to the Silverchair drummer.
She is weirdly psychic.
Is she psychic? You reckon?
Yeah. Well, she said to me one day, she walked into the camp, and she said, "Somebody's got a really bad tooth on the left-hand side at the back." And I was like, "Oh, I'm not telling her it's me," and it was.
Well, that's interesting.
And then I had my tooth pulled.
Ooh.
I was blindfolded and taken to a dentist and had a molar ripped out of my head.
Oh, my God. So and they could do that kind of thing?
Well, they had to.
Yeah, because of the pain.
Well, it would have been a nightmare in there.
No, of course. And so it's interesting.
The
so
kind of conversation that goes, you know, this is what shattered me. I thought I was a girly girl and loved girls.
Yeah.
And I do. But the likes of... some of the women in there, this is the conversation. She'd sit there and she'd go, "Just think it's terrible that there's so many children that are starving." Like, what are you supposed to say to them?
Yeah. Really? She's saying that because she knows there's cameras
yeah.
on her.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Really? Because I think it's great.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? You need to say more than that.
Yeah. So what are we going to do about it?
Yeah. You got a plan?
Oh, I don't know.
I just think it's terrible.
Was Kerry Armstrong in there?
Yeah.
And so I've interviewed her a few times. She's quite insane.
Well, isn't it interesting? Because she is bonkers. And yet, such a brilliant actress.
Yeah, great actress.
And I was thinking, because she... intense. But then I was thinking, I guess if she was a bloke, people would say she's just...
Yeah, brilliant.
Brilliant.
A maverick.
A maverick. Because she is
like a Sean Penn kind of.
I mean, I remember that scene of hers in that movie. She won a Best Actress. She beat Nicole Kidman.
She was in Lantana.
Yeah. When the husband had an affair.
Yeah.
She's a method actress. The husband had an affair.
Yeah.
And Anthony LaPaglia played the role.
That's
and
right.
He said to her, "We'll talk about it. We'll talk more tonight." And she was supposed to say, "Okay." And she just turned... He just told her about the affair. He said, "We'll talk more tonight." And in the script, it said she was supposed to say, "Okay." And then she went, "Get fucked."
Yeah, right.
And the director, you know, lost his mind because she didn't stick to the script. But she said, "There's no way anyone would say anything other than that." And it was such a powerful scene.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, bonkers.
And so you basically talk to Pete a lot?
Yeah, well, Pete and I just started...
doing those characters.
Yeah, it was almost like having... That's how I spend the time with Emily, you know, my sister, when life's driving you mental.
Yeah.
Like, say, on family holidays, home on the farm. It's always just been you go into character just to amuse yourself. And comedians are very like-minded, you know?
Yeah.
We just started mucking around with... I said, "What can your name be, Ron?" And we had no idea that it was on the other side, Ron and Brenda.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But the backstories of characters are so much fun, because Ron was actually really camp. He was a camp heterosexual, which there are a lot of.
There are a lot of them, yeah.
Ron's backstory is he works for Spotlight. He works at Spotlight. What he doesn't know about thread counts on sheets.
Yeah.
And Danny Green...
It's a very feminine play, Spotlight.
It's very...
I've been there many times, sent in to buy calico party bags the other day. In fact, my wife had them out today and said, "Can you return these to Spotlight?" I went,
"No.
Let's just donate them." Because we got them for my son's Lord of the Rings party that he didn't want to have.
That's... I remember.
Yeah, we never had the party.
Never had the Lord of the Rings party. Yeah, his closing words to his mother was, I wanted the Matrix one anyway. He wanted to have a Matrix party. What do you do at a Matrix party? He wanted to, stand at the door and hand out blue pills or something. Anyway, Spotlight is a very feminine...
Spotlight, places like that give me melancholia.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that set me off.
Soft furnishings.
Things I can't cope with. Yeah, I don't know. In that documentary that's yet to come out, Sam...
Oh, yeah, they're making a documentary about you. Is that right?
Yeah, we filmed this bit in Target. And I literally... Because that camera just followed me around, so...
Yeah, everywhere.
It got the lot. And I kind of lost my mind in Target at throw cushions and throw...
Oh, yeah.
All that shit. And the... you know the motivational quotes in frames?
Yeah. Be happy.
Get fucked. Or be kind. Be kind's another one.
Be kind, yeah.
My sister loves them. She's got them all over her house.
She's got them framed,
isn't
she?
Oh, the places you will go.
Oh, yeah, the Dr. Seuss one.
Yeah, the places I'll go in my head if I see another one of them. I think she was one of the first people who had keep calm and carry on, or except for people in Blitz.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't stand them. Yeah, so I had a little meltdown in Target, which I'm looking forward to seeing.
So what's that documentary called?
It's called Lady O'Loughlin.
Oh, great.
You know, the backstory of that, Sam, years ago, Sam Peterson, he was 15. He grew up in...
he's from Wonthaggi or the...
Phillip Island.
Phillip Island, yeah.
He woke up one day and he said to his mum, I'm going to interview Fiona O'Loughlin today. And he, of course, hadn't met me. And his mother is a champion. She's a gorgeous woman. I've met her many times since. But she drove him all the way to Melbourne and they had tickets to my show. And he bought his little...
Oh, recorder.
Recorder. Anyway, well, you know what the town hall's like in the middle of... comedy festival.
Yeah, you can't just find anyone.
Throng of kooks. And I came out of my show and he said to me, he said something to Andrew Taylor. He said something to
former manager.
A person that I used to have manage me.
Yeah.
I'm very particular about who manages me, Dave. I always have been.
Yes.
Anyway, he said something to him about interviewing me, but it was so loud. And Andrew, this guy blew him off.
Yeah, he said, no, mate, no.
Just put his hand out and blew this kid off. And I kind of noticed it and then got a horrible attack of, you're not that person, really. You're letting a kid get blown off by a dickhead. So I chased him, found him on Swanson Street.
And you're good?
Well, just, I'm not really good. It's just... You know when your conscience hits you?
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to act on it. So I found him, and he kind of started interviewing me then. And now he's 25, and he's ended up being the producer on this documentary.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's done such a great job with it. I haven't watched it, nor will I probably.
Where are we going to see it? Do you know? Or?
He's putting it into film festivals.
Yeah, sure thing. So after
that way, if it's a stinker, what do I care?
And also, it's art house. Come on.
But if it's a win, yes, I'm very involved.
And so, once you came out of the jungle, was it a big surprise that?
Oh, it was such a surprise.
How popular it become, and
because I won by a fucking country mile. I won by 62% of the vote.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
And I never thought when I was in there, I didn't even think about winning it.
Yeah.
I wanted to make the top five because I knew that it was such a profile lift for Joel and
Chrissy,
and it didn't really matter where you came.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember Peter Rosal said to me before he went, I've got to make the top four or five to make it worth it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but I don't think it, as long as you're not first cab off the rank, because I'm always first cab off the rank.
Well, Akmal is a great comic, and he went in, but he didn't even know it was a...
Akmal didn't want to be there.
He thought it was a set, too. He didn't know it was in Africa.
Well, apparently Tom Arnold thought you got to go back to a hotel every night. And he spat the dummy. One of the producers said they never met anyone ruder.
Yeah, he cracked it, didn't he, apparently?
Yeah.
But yeah, of course, and because I watched the challenge that you were with that tennis player. Where he was just, what's his name?
Tomic.
Oh my God! So he was obviously having issues.
Well, I don't know whether he's. The mentality of an elite sport athlete at that age must just be fucked.
Yeah, yeah. But you'd think they'd have a bit more persistence than... Yeah. He must have done so much training over the years for hours and
I
hours.
I guess so. He should be used to pushing through.
Yeah, but nah.
It was really interesting. He never asked a question of anyone. Like, he was quite...
Yeah, he wasn't interested in other people.
No, never said...
Well, who are you or what do you do?
Yeah. Well, there's not much else to talk about in there.
Yeah.
But so, that was funny. When he bailed on that trial, then we were walking back to the camp, and there's a really long walk. The walk back to camp used to drive me mad because I'm lazy. And
it'd be hot.
It's hot. But this day it poured down with rain. And there was one of the producers, he was a Kiwi guy. God, I loved him. And he said that when I won it, he said, I knew you were going to win it that day. He said that was such a great... image. And I'm like, what? And he said, you were walking in the rain carrying the three big stars, and there you've got a world class, like a world champion behind you. Bernard couldn't walk. He was too cooked from the trial, and he was on his back on a quad bike.
Yeah.
And the old lady's walking.
Yeah. Were you surprised by your resilience in there?
No. I grew up...
Yeah, tough.
In a, you know, in the tiniest little town. Nothing fucking ever happened. I'm used to nothing happening.
Yeah, right.
You know?
The boredom. And so since you've been out, has it helped with your stand-up in terms of, you know, crowds and getting gigs?
What it's helped with is I feel like for years, many, many years... You know, we're so insecure, stand-ups. And I felt like I've been a Labrador pup, you know, fucking please like me. But what it did now, audiences seem to now be given this sense of it's okay, we're in safe hands.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I'm really enjoying that you don't have to panic. I just feel relaxed. Even my mother was hilarious because she's never really talked about my career much, but...
She loves your sister's career, though.
Loves that.
Yeah.
But since the whole country said I'm okay,
she's come around.
She's on board.
Wow.
That's all I needed was 62%.
Deidre. And Deidre coming on board.
She's on board.
Fantastic.
She sat in my show... my Melbourne Comedy Festival show and laughed like a normal person.
Oh, really? Instead of, you know, said, you know, like Denise Scott's mother said, the woman before you had nice hair.
All those things you used to get told. Oh, you're up there. Andrea Powell's got a great one. Her father said, you know, that's Ethel Chopp, Andrea Powell.
Yes.
Aka Ethel Chopp. Her dad said, you were up there for a long time.
Thanks, Dad.
I love those lines.
You were...
We could hear you.
Oh, God, yeah, it's tough. And you're doing Perth this weekend.
Yeah, and I...
Doing the Astor.
The Astor.
And it's sold out.
It's sold out.
Well, there you go. Fantastic.
It's a purple patch, David O'Neill.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's good to have one, isn't it?
Well, it's bloody great to have one.
It's really good.
Now I've got to make hay while this sun shines.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
but I think The beauty of stand-up, once you've kind of made your mark, you can...
Do it forever.
I just feel so blessed that I get to do this.
As a job?
I couldn't work. I'm far too lazy.
Same here. Did nursing. I did teaching. I can imagine me going back to teaching. They have to work so long hours these days.
I wonder if we were, like if I was a nurse and you're a teacher, if we would have just stopped laughing by now.
Yeah, or done something else maybe. Or being one of the really angry...
Because I think that's the joy of stand-up, is that you get to keep mucking around.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're with... Yeah, that's why I love line-up gigs so much.
Yeah, it's not like... Some gigs are a bit lonely, like festival shows. You go, you do an hour, and then you come off and the tech goes, oh, that was pretty good anyway, we've got the next guy coming in now, and just walk out in the cold.
Nobody cares.
Or a footy club or a corporate gig, you turn up, you're like a stripper.
Oh, yeah.
You're over there, mate, just sit over there and we'll come and get you.
Don't say cunt.
Yeah, don't say the C-bomb. So, now you're not going to read a book on stage. Why would I read a book on stage? The guy last year read a book and they didn't like it, all right?
Bloody Bob Franklin.
I can't remember who it was. I did one the other night where the guy's like, three different people had told me, last year this was a disaster. Disaster. You've got to grab control. Disaster.
You've got to grab control.
This is the worst audience, Melbourne. We've done all around Australia. This is the worst audience.
That's so funny. Because as if, as a stand-up, you go out there ever half-assed. Like,
well, this is the thing. I woke up at 6:30 that morning with a headache. I'm thinking, oh, fuck, I've got to grab control tonight. And then I get there and the...
You've got to grab control.
Grab control, yeah.
What's not grabbing control?
Well, look, apparently it was a disaster. We've all done gigs that have been disasters. It's not the comedian's fault. There was a huge dance floor last year. And I said, well, that'd be the problem. There's a big dance floor in front of the stage. It's going to be hard for the comic.
I had close to a death the other night.
Where were you?
In this pub in Manly, but no one knew about the gig.
Oh, fuck.
And there were 12 people.
Well, that's... To die in front of 12 people, that's not really a death, is it?
And it was just... I was kind of like, oh, fuck, this happens every now and then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When it sneaks up on you, you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah,
I did not see this coming. I've just done a corporate and had a great corporate. And then I'm
so
like...
Yeah, so they didn't go, oh, the pub gig's going to be easy. The
pub gig's going to be fine. And then all of a sudden... I'll never forget Chris Wainhouse. God,
he's
so funny. Yeah. Like, breathtakingly funny. And he said, I don't know which comic, they died at the Sydney Comedy Store. And this comic comes off stage. Like, clearly just been, you know...
Shattered.
And he comes off stage and Chris Wainhouse goes, oh, hey, they happened. They happen. We all have, two a year.
Yeah.
Pause. Then he goes, I wouldn't spend mine here.
Yeah.
We get two a year. I wouldn't spend mine at the comedy store.
Yeah, where it should be easy.
Isn't he a classic?
That's very good. But see, that's similar to me. So I did this gig where you got to grab them. They were bankers.
You got to grab them.
And it was great. It was a really good gig. Then I had to go into a pub like you.
Yeah.
And it was... The pub nearest to my house where I grew up. So my dad was sitting down the front.
Oh, no.
And it was just a shambles. It was just like 30 people in a big room.
Oh, right when your dad's there. Isn't it always the way?
I know. But he's pretty good, Dad. He was just laughing. And I rushed to do this gig and I was just like... And then, the first couple of minutes, I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't want to die in front of my dad.
No father should bury his own son. Don't you love that? Talking tonight about stupid sayings we have.
Oh, you bury your own. Yeah, bury you.
No one should.
Oh, God, look at that. That girl has got a coat on and a very short skirt. It's just got off a tram.
She's going to get a cold in her kidneys.
It's freezing, yes. Freezing.
What's wrong with them?
Yeah.
No one notices how fat they are anymore because everyone else is fat.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of fat people.
I didn't show my legs my whole fucking youth because
really?
I thought they were so fat.
Well... Yeah, someone asked me what I thought about miniskirts. I said, well, you've got to wear them when you can. There's no point. Because my niece wore a miniskirt. She's not 21. And what did you think? I didn't see it, but my mother-in-law asked me.
Oh, everybody's talking about
it. And I said, well, you got to wear them while you're young. Go for it. Why not? Oh, boy. Yes, dying on stage. Yeah, you've got the ability to resurrect yourself. See, back in the day, once you start struggling, you're like, oh, no.
Oh, and didn't it take forever to get over it?
Yeah, these days I don't even care.
I'm over it the minute I'm out of the venue.
Yeah. I did one the other night where it was a huge room, the big dance floor, people talking, standing up event, people standing around. I got about half of the crowd. I didn't take control. I did about 20 minutes and just went, oh, I'm going.
You didn't grab them.
I didn't grab them at all. But sometimes a situation's so bad you can't. I just go.
No, it's
Chris Rock wouldn't do well here.
No,
no one would.
Sometimes it's
beyond us.
All the, you know, it's what Dave Grant used to say.
The great man.
You need all. Well, at least you need stage lights and.
Yeah, yeah.
what
and
do you
people
need?
To listen.
There's a guy in South Australia. I do gigs with him and might not have to anymore since my change of fortune.
Exactly.
But Kel Belknames and I used to do
he's good. I did a gig with him the other night.
I love Kel. Yeah. Funny. But
the pilot.
This guy...
His pilot jokes. Funny.
Has... Yeah, he does country kind of gigs. But it's always a roll of the dice. He'll never have lights, sound and a stage. You get
one or the other.
You get two out of the three. Sometimes only one out of the three.
What is it with Kel?
Yeah, Kel and I have done them.
God. Now, where are you? You're down here somewhere.
I'm just up here on the left.
Okay. The lovely part of Melbourne.
I actually forgot we were doing a podcast.
Oh, no. Well, we are, yeah.
That's how natural you are. See, what you did there was you grabbed me.
I grabbed you.
You grabbed me. Yeah, just here.
I grabbed you. Hang on. You are listening to The Debrief with Fiona Lachlan. Oh, and look, I've got a new podcast called Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins, where we're given two topics that are somehow related. For example, we do Nazis and Fana. How are they related? Well, they are. Have a listen. It's a quick podcast with myself and funny man, Glenn Robbins. You're back on The Debrief with Dave O'Neill. Fiona Lachlan's made a return fresh from the jungle. I asked these debrief questions. I don't know if I did it with you first time you're on. Probably didn't. It's probably you're on one of the first ones. Anyway, I'll ask them. I got these off the internet. What went well tonight and why, Fiona? With the gig.
I think I'm starting to understand not what they want to hear, what they don't want to hear.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, right. Well, they're a very middle-aged crowd.
Yeah.
The Granby, there are a few young people. But so what didn't go well?
You know, sometimes you just... dig your heels in. You know that there's a line that never gets a laugh, but
you
just
love
it.
Yeah.
Like, I just love talking about my family, my older relatives, and I say Philip Nitsky couldn't kill us with an axe.
That's funny though. They've got a laugh.
It never gets what it deserves.
No, it's a good line.
It's a very good line.
It's funny.
It got better tonight than it normally gets, but often it gets nothing.
Yeah, right.
And yet it amuses me, so...
I find it funny.
I shall continue to say it.
Were there any organisational hazards that got in the way?
Tonight?
Yeah. Apart from Clive.
No, none.
None? Smooth
sailing. The sound was so beautiful.
Oh, the sound, yeah,
it's
sound.
It's such good sound.
Sounds often not that good there. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Yeah. It was a bit murky the other night, but it was good tonight. How can we do better next time, then?
Oh, I could have had more people. I should have tweeted more.
Oh, no, I
didn't tweet at all until yesterday.
I just got the posters today, and you're on tonight.
We didn't grab them.
We didn't grab them? You can't sell a secret, as someone once said to me, and it's true. That gig was like a secret gig.